As we continue to report on the human toll of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're also marking the 20th anniversary of a very different kind of mass trauma, the September 11th attacks. John Yang spoke to first responders and medical workers who have lived and worked through both in the city that was the epicenter of both, New York.
To John Episcopo.
Good morning, handsome.
What's up, beautiful?
The door of Jack Delaney's Long Island home is always open.
What's going on?
They share an unbreakable bond forged in the smoke and flames of the World Trade Center.
This picture was taken about 30 seconds before Tower 2 collapsed. In the front there, leading the way, is Jack, and I would be back here.
20 years later, the memories are still vivid.
When I got back from Ground Zero, that was actually in my jacket pocket.
They were among the New York Presbyterian Hospital paramedics who raced downtown for Manhattan's Upper East Side.
It seemed like the top of the building kind of tilted, but then the entire sky went gray. And there's just a moment where we all kind of looked at each other and kind of gave each other permission to do whatever we needed to do to survive that.
We ran for our lives as the buildings were coming down. Tremendous dust, you couldn't see in front of your face. But I was trying to find the rest of my staff.
The remains of two of them weren't found for months. Mario Santoro and Keith Fairbairn. Both Delaney and Episcopo nearly lost their lives as well, injured as the debris of the collapsing towers rained down on them. After freeing themselves, neither wanted to leave.
During the day, people were like, dude, you got to get out of here, you're hurt. And but then two of my guys actually
physically removed you.
Gave me no alternative and removed me from the pile and took me by ambulance back to Cornell.
We could see it and we heard it.
A few blocks away, Dr. Antonio Daher and his team were told to prepare for mass casualties, but they couldn't begin to imagine how many or how serious they would prove to be. Daher was the attending ER physician at this hospital that bright blue September morning. He was expecting nothing more than a routine Tuesday. Then a nurse ran in with the news that changed everything. Just a few blocks away, a plane had flown into one of the Twin Towers.
The first badly injured patient I remember was a young woman who came in lying so low in a stretcher that I thought it was that I was seeing wrong. But as soon as I saw her, I knew we were in for mass trauma.
And when the first tower collapsed,
and this vivid memory of a 10-story high dust cloud barreling towards me,
the chaos eventually gave way to silence.
So many families were coming around with posters and flyers for their loved ones, and that was the sacred moment of you just needed to absorb it. You just needed to be quiet and try to bring them in and do what you could for them.
So busy doing what they could for their patients and the families of victims, Daher and his colleagues hadn't begun to process their own emotions.
Coming out of that was probably more traumatic for me. Seeing it on TV and seeing the worldwide reaction was the first time I broke into tears. That was coming out of that isolation or that sense of intensity of this one place with these people that I'm with and then re-entering the world.
The first responders at Ground Zero re-entered the world as changed people.
I had to remain the rock. So I literally took my emotions and put them to the side. I had to be there to talk to staff that wanted to talk. I had to interact with the families. And I didn't realize how deeply I pushed my emotions away.
Jack Delaney's physical injuries forced his retirement, and both he and John Episcopo still deal with the mental toll of that day.
I always had flashbacks and nightmares.
I used to have the dreams on a consistent basis. I've woken up a couple of times with a smell.
For Episcopo and some other first responders, seeking treatment for post-traumatic stress wasn't easy.
Speaking to a therapist that's not in the business is difficult because it's like talking a different language. I have to explain everything. But it definitely helped. It kind of gave me the permission to feel the emotions that, that I felt. And I think, at least with 9/11, I think the stigma behind the mental health has been diminished.
New York Presbyterian Hospital psychologist Dr. Joanne DeFede has worked with 9/11 survivors to overcome that stigma. In September 2001, she was treating burn patients with PTSD. After 9/11, her work became all the more urgent.
There you go, John.
Okay.
Go ahead and put it on.
Okay.
DeFede pioneered using virtual reality therapy to transport her patients back to the sights and sounds of that day.
Many people will tell you, even to this day, on a September day and the sky gets a certain blue cast to it, they'll think of the World Trade Center. They learned that the blue sky was associated with a terrorist attack and something horrific and unimaginable.
By confronting their trauma, they were able to overcome it.
So the whole idea in these trauma simulations is you go over your trauma as if it were happening again in the present tense, so that your brain starts to learn, oh, you know, it's a September day, it's not 9/11, 2001.
For many, the pandemic has meant a new kind of mental stress, trauma that can be especially acute for frontline healthcare workers.
I think 9/11 was such a short event, at least for us. It didn't test our endurance the way COVID has.
It makes it more personal.
As a paramedic on Long Island, Episcopo has seen that fatigue firsthand.
This pandemic is this generation's 9/11. The stress is overwhelming. The seeing death in many levels, it's the same type of experience. So there's no doubt in my mind that the coworkers of mine and friends that were in the height working the street of the pandemic will end up developing PTSD.
DeFede is working on a virtual reality program to treat frontline medical workers' trauma.
The enemy was invisible, unlike the World Trade Center, where it was at least in one element more visible. If you think about our healthcare workers, some of my colleagues worked around the clock, 7 days a week for a very, very long time, taking care of people who were gravely ill, many of whom died. They saw death more frequently than they had ever seen in their entire career.
They're not gonna.
Episcopo and Delaney have lasting physical ailments from 9/11 and its aftermath. Breathing in the toxic dust, smoke, and fumes at Ground Zero puts them at higher risk of severe illness if they get COVID-19. But they say the threat of isolation during the pandemic was just as debilitating as the threat of the virus itself.
The interaction is key to the mental health of the responder. That's what has helped me deal with and live through the aftermath of September 11th.
And as much as the last 18 months of stressed healthcare workers, Dr. Antonio Daher says he's now seen another mass trauma event bring out the best in doctors, nurses, and paramedics, and the city.
There's a community spirit that mimic 9/11 to some extent, that this really was everybody in it together. There was that sense of shared experience that I think probably sustained many people through it.
As they struggle through a different kind of calamity, one whose memorials are yet to be built. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm John Yang in New York.